We're holding on Ein Ches Amud Bey's second line from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing the question. Rav Chanina had said, now we know, we've been learning throughout the Perek that when a woman makes a neder, her husband or her father has the ability to be either may for it, to cancel it, or one of the things he can do is be quiet. And if he's quiet, then at the end of the day, when it gets dark that day, well, we had an opinion a few days ago that said after 24 hours, then the neder is in effect, and the only way to cancel it would be with the usual kind of hataras nedarim. So Rav Chanina had said, suppose the husband does intend to be made for the neder, but he's quiet because he wants to upset his wife, lameka, literally means to make her angry. Means, in other words, he wants to keep her on tenterhooks for a while. He doesn't yet want to be made for the neder until the last possible moment, because he whether for example, because this way it'll discourage her from making the nedarim in the future, or whatever the reason is exactly. So Rav Chanina had said that that's not the equivalent of being quiet al menas to be made for the neder, because the fact is he does have in mind to be. It's not the same as being quiet Almanas to keep the neder, because the fact is he does intend to be made for it. He's just delaying. So therefore, Rav Chanina had said that the clock doesn't start ticking yet, and whatever day he decides he's going to be made for, then he has until it gets dark that day. So we were discussing that, and then trying to bring proofs against it, which we didn't yet. So now the Gemara says Masiv Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, I have another contradiction. On Rav Chanina. A braisa says, Chomer b'hokim mi'b'hofer or b'hofer mi'b'hokim. There's a chumra in hakoma compared to hafara. There's a chumra in hakoma relative to hafara, as we're going to see the braisa is going to describe, or b'hofer mi'b'hokim. And there's also, on the other hand, a chumra, something stronger in hafara than there is in hakoma. Chomer b'hokim. What is the chumra? What is the strength of hakama over hafara? Shash sika. There's a few shash sika mekayemes. Being quiet is mekayem the neder. Meaning, again, if the husband or the father is quiet, then the neder automatically is going to take effect when shkia comes. The ain't sika mevatelus. But on the other hand, being quiet is not mevatel. As we learned a few days ago, he would actually have to explicitly say a loshen that he's made for the neder. So that's a chumra of hakama over hafara. And another example, continues the braisa. The Ran points out, by the way, where do we see that? We see that from the fact that what does it mean when he continuing in the braisa over here, that once he's mekayim, then the neder is in effect. And to be mekayim, you can do only machshava. You don't need to actually verbalize it. So all it is normally, so when we say shashika mekayemes, we don't mean, of course, that it's mekayim right on this. Well, that's what we're going to have to figure out. On the face of it, what kind of shesika are we talking about? Are we talking about the shesika where he didn't decide yet what to do, where he hasn't told shkia? Are we talking about the shesika where he's mentally thinking, I am the kindness neder? Is it shesika almanas lemekat, to upset his wife, which is the subject of our sugya? So that we'll see soon. Anyway, the point is that shesika is what the pasuk says, that if he's quiet until the end of the day or until 24 hours, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, then the neder is in effect. But on the other hand, shesika cannot be mevatel a neder. You need to actually say it out. Similarly, continues the braisa, kiyim b'libay. If he's mekayim the neder just in his mind, kayim, then it is in effect. He doesn't actually have to verbalize it. Hey for b'libay ain't in mufer. But if he does that, if he does hafara in his heart, then it's not a valid hafara. He actually has to spell it. He actually has to state it out. And so the Ran explains, the idea is, in other words, ultimately, what happens when the husband is quiet until the end of the day? So then he shows that the fact that he had all that time to be made for the neder and he wasn't shows that he approves of this neder and he wants to keep it. So therefore, that itself is the source for the fact that if he's quiet, that itself is the source for that if he decides mentally that he wants to keep it, then it remains kept. The only difference is normally we say we give him until nightfall in order to decide. In the case where it was Mekayim Belibo, in effect, the Ran says what happens is that period gets cut off. Now we say he doesn't have until nightfall anymore. Now it's considered as though the day is over and he was quiet. Also, the Ran points out we learned the other day about the concept of tli v'ichli tliush si, that if the husband or the father, instead of being made for the neder, tells her take and eat, take and drink, then we had over there the whole discussion: does he actually need to be mefer in his heart? Which the Ran had said that no, that's not that. There it amounts to saying that the neder is mufer. The Ran over there refers to all Gemara over here. It's true that hafara belev, as we're saying over here, is not a hafara. But when he says tli v'ichli tli ushsi, that itself counts as a hafara. And then we talked about then what the Rambam says, that it's not really a hafara, it's actually a whole different kind of way of being mevatel the neder. In any case, the idea is that so the Braisa is saying over here that hakama has certain chumras over hafara. One of them being that being quiet by itself can allow the neder to stand if he's quiet until shkia, whereas to be made for he can't, he would actually have to say it out. And here the Rosh also brings what he brought the other day in that sugya about tli v'ichli tli ushsi. He brings from Rabbi Eliezer Mamitz, who says that actually belibo doesn't mean that he's thinking it, it means that he says it, just not in a way that other people can hear it. It means he whispers the words with his lips, but he doesn't actually speak them out in a way that she can hear. That also works because at least he spoke it out with his lips. But according to that explanation, if he just thought in his heart that the neder is kayim, then that still wouldn't be effective either. Then the Braisa continues. There is also now, here's something which is not really a strength of hakama over hafara, or the other way around. This is something that's equal between them. Kiyim and yochel hafer, hafer and yochel l'kayim. If he was mekayim the neder, then he's not able to be mefer anymore. But if he was mefer, he's not able to be mekayim anymore. So in that sense, that's not really the Ran explains. That's not really something where one of them has a strength over the other. Here we're talking about here, this is just something that's equal between them. Just since the Braisa is mentioning Chumras, has mentioning strength that Hakama has over Hafara, so it mentions this incidentally as well. Now, the Braisa has not given us something in which Hafara is stronger. The Gemara is going to ask about that in a couple of lines, that the Braisa had started by saying that each one has a strength over the other one, but all we listed is things where Hakama has a strength over Hafara and things where they're equal, but not things where Hafara has a strength over Hakama. We'll get back to that soon. But first, why are we bringing the Braisa? Because we're discussing this question of Amanas Lameka. So, Katani, now the Braisa had said, Shash Sika Makayemis. We said that being quiet is able to be Makayim the Neder. My lab b'shoisik amanas l'meika. Shouldn't we assume that includes when he's being quiet in order to upset his wife? Because after all, the Braisa had said generically that if he's quiet, implying that whatever kind of quietness, whatever the motivation was for him being quiet, whether it's because he plans to be Mekayim the Neder, whether because he plans to be made for it, whether just because he hasn't decided yet, it sounds like it means in any case, then the Shsika, as long as it lasts until the end of the day, is going to put the Neder in effect. And that would disprove Rav Chanina. The answer is no. Loi b'shoisek amanas l'kayim. No, you could say that we're talking about where he's quiet, having in mind to be Mekayim the Neder. Well, the question is, well, that amounts to the same thing. The Braisa had said, if he was Mekayim in his mind, then, or according to Rabbi Eliezer Mamitz, that he was Mekayim verbally, but quietly, then it's Kayim. So if you're telling me that Shsika, if you're telling me that when the Braisa says Shashika Mekayemis means only a Shsika where he's having in mind to be Mekayim, so then the Braisa is spelling that out later. Why? So what else would Shsika Mekayemis mean? So no, you could answer like you did in the previous braisa that we learned yesterday, that it means where he's shoysek without specifying a reason. He himself hasn't decided yet what he plans to do with this neder. So therefore now if he's quiet and he doesn't do anything by the end of the day, then the neder is going to be in effect. But maybe the braisa may not be implying that if he's quiet, I'm an asla mekat, where after all, he does intend to be mevatel the neder. He just doesn't want to yet. Maybe the braisa is not addressing that case. Maybe in fact, like Rav Chanina says, you could wait several days in order to do that.
What was the question exactly?
The original question was, Rav Chanina had said that if the husband is quiet, amanas lemeikat, because he wants to upset his wife, meaning, so she made a nether, he has every intention of being mevatelet, of being made for it, but he doesn't want to do it yet, because he wants to keep her on tenterhooks for some time, so this way maybe she'll be dissuaded from making the dorim in the future, or whatever the reason is. So now, Rav Chanina had said, that does not count as a shesika. The clock does not begin until the day that he decides that he wants to be made for Umakayim. Right now, he's saying he wants to be made for, just not yet. Then Rav Chanina is saying he could even wait several days and do that. So now we're trying to disprove that. So this braisa that we quoted just now said, shashesika makayemes, that being quiet can be makayim. So we're saying, doesn't that mean no matter what reason he's quiet, if he doesn't do anything by the end of the day, the neder is in effect? Now, in the end, we're saying that not necessarily the braisa may only be talking about, so the braisa may be talking about where he was shoysek stam, where he's being quiet without any particular motivation in mind. So in that case, then we could say that, yeah, if he doesn't do anything by the end of the day, the neder is going to be in effect. Maybe shoysek amanas lemeikat would be different. Maybe in fact, then we would in fact say that he has several days from now to decide, not to decide, but he knows he wants to be made for it. But when whatever day he decides he actually wants to be made for it and get her off and get her off those tenterhooks, then Rav Chanina is saying you'd be able to do that. You can't necessarily disprove him from this braisa.
How with I understand that we have Sukkim explaining that you have either the same till it is dark or 24 hours. How could we take something now and drag it out for a few days because he meant to make her angry?
Because in effect, what Rav Chanina is saying, in effect, well, let's put it this way: we're going to have at the bottom of this Amud, near the end of this Perek, you're going to have, for example, you could have the case where the husband did not know that he's able to be made for that he's able to be made for a neder. Where then we said, then we're gonna say that the clock doesn't start until he actually knows that point. And then the same way we've talked about earlier, that if the husband doesn't yet hear the neder, then the clock doesn't start yet. So when the pasuk, so in effect, Rav Chanina is saying that if he's being quiet in order to anger her, then we consider as though he didn't hear the neder yet, or as though he doesn't know that, or as though he doesn't know that he can be made for that neder. And therefore, on whatever day it is that he decides he plans to be made for that neder, then the clock starts ticking then. In other words, Rav Chanina would say, sure, I agree that if he was quiet, stam, without a particular motivation in mind, then yeah, by default, the neder is going to take effect at the end of the day. I agree, of course, if he's shoysek amanas l'kayim, where he's mentally thinking, I do want to be m'kayim the neder, of course, it takes effect right away. We just said, akoma can be in his mind. But Rav Chanina says, in special case of Lameikat, we would consider that the equivalent of him not having heard the neder yet, or the equivalent of him hearing the neder and not knowing that he's able to be made for it. So far we brought.
Why is he making such an exception to just the Lameikat and what's the reason?
Because the difference is, in a regular case of Shosik, you could say either he has in mind to be Mekayim, or he's not sure whether he wants to be Mekayim. But here, he's sure that he wants to be Mefer. He just doesn't want to do it yet. So then Rav Chanina is saying, in that case, then that's different. Okay, so far we've had two braises, one that Rava brought and one that Rav Chista brought. Both of them seem to contradict Rav Chanina, but we said they don't necessarily have to contradict him. We could make them both work out according to him. We could maybe say that both of them are carving out this exception for amanas lemeikat. But so before we continue with dealing with Rav Chanina, the Gemara deals, by the way, with a detail in the braisa that we just learned. Ashkechon chomer b'hokem b'hofer. So, okay, we found a chomra in Hakama over Hafara, because we said two chumras actually, one that Hakama can take effect without even saying anything, and the other, they kind of both amount to the same thing, that Hakama can take effect even if he doesn't say anything, and even if he only thinks it in his mind, whereas Hafara requires him to actually say something, and it can't just be Beliboy. So fine, that's a chumra. Now the Braisa had introduced it by saying, there is a chumra in Hakama over Hafara, and a chumra in Hafara over Hakama. So fine, so far we've covered the first one. Where are we finding a chumra in Hafara over Hakama? The Ran points out the Lashon Menolon is a little bit inexact. Menolon would usually be when the Gemara is asking where's the source in a pasuk for such a din. He were not asking for a source in a pasuk. He were asking, practically speaking, the Braisa has told us that there's something about Hafara that Hakama does not have. What is it? The answer is Amar Yechanan Nisholen Ala Hakam Vein Nisholen Ala Hafer. The chumra, the strength that Hafara has over Hakama is if the husband or the father has been Mekayim, then he can be Matur Neder on that. But if he was Mefer, he can't be Matur Neder on that. We learned that point before. We learned it actually all the way back at the beginning of this Perek. The idea behind it is, the Ran explained over there, because the Kiyum itself is kind of a mini Neder in itself. It's his wife made a neder, and now he's being Mekayim, that itself becomes part of the neder. Therefore, like any neder, you can be Matur Neder on it. On the other hand, the Hafara is removing the neder. So therefore, you see, there's nothing really to be Matur Neder on the removal of a neder. So that's the answer. The Braisa is missing that. Rabbi Yochanan is supplying that for us, but that there is in fact a chumra, there is in fact a strength of Hafara over Hakama, namely as far as Hataras Nadarim.
Except that the two chumras are not equal in strength. One is stronger than the other.
That's not the point. The point is that the Braisa is informing us, you should know there's a certain way in which Hakama is stronger, and there's a certain other way in which Hafara is stronger. That's all the Braisa wants to tell us. You have to remember that, we're talking the Braisas were composed when Torah Shabbat Peh was still Baal Peh. So you want to have ways of being able to remember such dinim. So this is a handy way of remembering such dinim. It doesn't have to be that the chumrah and the kula have anything to do with each other. Okay. So again, getting back now to Rav Chanina, the Gemara says Mosiv Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says I have a contradiction against Rav Chanina. A Braisa says, basing itself on the pasuk, being hachrish yachrish lo isha v'gomer, the pasuk says if her husband is quiet about her neder, and the pasuk continues mi yoim al yoim, which is where we said the other day, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon used that mi yoim al yoim to say 24 hours. The chachamim had said that it meant that it just means you should know you can be made for nedarim by day or by night. Anyway, the word is hachrish yachrish. If quiet, he is quiet. The double expression. So b'shoisik, I'm going to ask them make that custom medaber. So the Braisa says that the Braisa clearly says the posik is talking about when he's being quiet. I'm going to ask them make that in order to upset his wife. Now after Oimer, now the Braisa continues. So you're going to say you're telling me that it means b'shoisik, I'm going to ask them make that it means when he's being quiet to upset her. But how do you know? Maybe not. Maybe it's only referring to when he's being quiet because he plans to be Mekayim the Neder. And we said, Shoisek HaManas LeMekat does not. He plans to be Mevato the Neder does not yet. So how do you know the Pasuk is telling you about LeMekat? No, Kshu Oimek Ki Hech Rishlo. Since you have the continuation of that same Pasuk says, because he was quiet on that day, and therefore the neder is in effect. So that part is talking about where he's being quiet. Amanas l'kayim, and amanas l'kayim means, in other words, that he plans. The Ran explains not necessarily that he means to be mekayim that day, because then in fact, if he plans for it to be mekoyim right now, then we don't have. Then Pasuk goes on to say, because he was quiet, b'yom shama, implying that he had the ability to be mefer. If we're talking about, you have to realize, in this whole sugya, you have a few different reasons why the husband could be quiet. So far, we've been saying there was amanas l'mekat, where he plans to be mefer, but not yet. There was, he can be shosek stam, we've talked about, where he doesn't really have any particular motivation in mind yet. He hasn't decided one way or the other what to do about this neder. There could be his shosek. There could be that he's being quiet, that right now he's being mekayim the neder mentally. He's thinking to himself, good, I approve of this neder, which we said then takes effect right away. There can also be where he's being shosek, having in mind that by the end of today, not having said anything, then the neder will be in effect. So it's not quite the same thing as it's not quite the same thing as Shoisek Stam. Here he has a motivation in mind, and his motivation is that tomorrow, as of tonight, after it gets dark, the neder will be in effect, but not right now. So the point is, the Braise is saying that so when we say b'shoisek amanas l'kayim, we don't actually mean, the Ran explains, before we use the expression shoisek amanas l'kayim, meaning that he's quiet, having in mind that right now I want to be mekayim this neder. That's not what this braise is talking about. The braise is using the same words, shoisek amanas l'kayim, but it means them slightly differently. It means that he's being quiet, having in mind that by the end of today, not having said anything, the neder will be in effect, but not right this moment. In other words, the difference is that with that kind of shikah, he still has the ability before shkia to change his mind. So that's what the braise says. True omer ki hechrish lo, when the pasuk continues that he was quiet, hare b'shoisek amanas l'kayim akosu medaber, then the pasuk is talking about that last kind of shikah, where he's being quiet because he intends to be quiet for the rest of the day. He intends to run out the clock on this hafara, and then once it becomes dark, the neder will be in effect. But nevertheless, because he hasn't yet had in mind to actually be mekayim it, then he still has the ability to change his mind, which is what the pasuk is saying. Ki hechu shlo b'yom shomai, because he was quiet b'yom shomai, therefore the neder is in effect, implying that he would have had the opportunity to change his mind. That's what Dan points out. If he was being quiet and he actually had in mind at the time, you know, I approve of this neder, then he can't be mefer anymore anyway, because we said before, hakama can be in his mind. So what does the pasuk mean when it says earlier, if her husband is quiet for her, must be b'shoisek amanas l'meikat hakasa medaber. By elimination, it must be talking about where he's being quiet amanas l'meikat, having in mind to upset her. So the braisa is clearly telling us that shoisek amanas l'meikat is the same as any other kind of shika. And if he doesn't do something by shkia, then the neder is going to be in effect. So that's a clear contradiction against Rav Hanina. So the Gemara asks, still, why did the braisa have to understand it that way? The loikim ha b'shoisek amanas l'kayim, so why don't you say, again, of the various ways that a person could be shosik, you could say one time when it says hechrish is referring to where he has in mind to be mekayim. The other one is when he's having in mind to be shosik stam without any particular motivation. How does the braisa know that it's referring even to shosik amanas l'kayim the next day and even to shosik amanas l'meikat? The answer is kroy yisayri ksibi. The answer is because you have extra words in the pasuk. Because in that one pasuk, you have three times the shurdash hechrish. You have vim hachrish yachrish la'isha miyoyim oyoyim, and it finishes off. Ki hechrish lo b'yoyim shomoy. So putting all that together teaches, as the braise is saying, no matter what the reason was for the hechrish, nevertheless, still the neder is in effect. So in fact, there are three kinds of shsika. The reason why you have three hachrishes is because you have three kinds of shsika that are going to be mekayim the neder. One where he has in mind that the neder will be in effect right now. One where he doesn't have anything in mind, and by default it becomes in effect at the end of the day. And the third one is amanas l'meikat. So there we go. The braise is clearly telling us, because you have these extra hachrishes, means that even shosik amanas l'meikat is considered shsika for the purpose that if he doesn't change his mind by the end of the day, then the neder is going to be in effect. Tosfos says a little bit differently, that the extra psukim are, you have a lot of places in those psukim where it talks about being makayim the neder, plus we have this hachrish yachrish law and kihechrish law. So altogether, with all of those, we learn that any kind of shesika and any kind of hakama is valid. So, okay, so we've disproved Rav Chanina. Nevertheless, having done that, the Gemara is going to continue with other disproofs against him. Now, what's the point of that? The Ran explains that the Gemara will do that sometimes, even though we schlugged up somebody, we're still going to say, what if later on, after all, you know, when the Chachamim, when the Amoraim gave these debates in the Gemara, gave these points, they didn't know a later Amora might find some way of reconciling the Braisa and making it work according to Rav Chanina. So therefore, the Gemara continues with a couple of other Amoraim who also bring other disproofs against him. So that way, even if you're able to break down one of those disproofs, then you still have the other ones. So therefore, the Gemara continues. Masiv Rava. So Rava says, I have another contradiction against Rav Chanina. We learned a couple of Mishnayos ago. Nodra im Chashecha. We said if the wife makes a neder right before it gets dark, and we said we were talking about even, let's say it was on Shabbos, Mefer lo ad shalei chashecha, then he can only be mefer until it gets dark. She'im lo hefer v'choshcha, because if he's not mefer and it gets dark, any yachal lahofer, then he can't be mefer anymore. That's, we said before, that's why you can be mefer nedarim on Shabbos, even if they have nothing to do with Shabbos, because the deadline is coming. The point is, Rava says, am I? Now, why would we say that he can't be mefer anymore? Lehevi k'shoy sekam anas l'meka. Why wouldn't we consider it the equivalent of being quiet amanas l'meka? If you're going to tell me, Rav Chanina, that shoy sekam anas l'meka, the clock hasn't started yet, and the reason is because when he was quiet, he didn't actually have in mind for the neder to be niskayim. Well, by the same token, let's say, for example, what did we discuss the other day? We said you can be made for nederim on Shabbos because otherwise the deadline is coming. Well, why did the Chachamim need to say that? According to Rav Chanina, they could have said, you can't be made for nederim on Shabbos. Don't worry about it. The clock won't start on Shabbos because we're not allowing you to be made for on Shabbos. So if you're already carving out an exception for Shoysik, I'm an ask the maker, then the Chachamim, by the same token, could have said that that being quiet because you can't be made for the neder on Shabbos, it would be in fact a kol shekein. It would be all the more so that it would work. And the fact that the Mishnah says that not, on the contrary, the Mishnah is saying he has to be mefer before Shabbos is over, otherwise he won't have the opportunity. And the Chachamim gave him the dispensation to do that. That alone shows that there's no kind of shesika that would allow the neder to still be canceled later on. So that's another. So tiyukta. So that's another contradiction against Rav Chanina. And the Gemara continues, here's yet another one. Masiv Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, I have yet another contradiction against Rav Chanina. A Mishnah says in the next perek, suppose the husband says, when he hears his wife making the neder, he says, Yedea ani sheyesh nedarim. I know that there are such things as nedarim. Avol eni yedea sheyesh mefirin. But I did not know, he says, I did not know that it is possible to be made for it. I thought one, he had never learned the halachas. He thought that once his wife makes a neder, then there's nothing to do about it. So then the din is yofer. Then he can be made for when. So then he can be made for whatever day he learns that he, whatever day he finds out that he's able to be made for. We consider that yom shomer. That's what we were saying before. There is precedent for this idea that he doesn't necessarily have to be made for the neder on the day he hears it. In this case, the fact that he didn't know that he was able to be made for net that he's able to be made for the neder is the equivalent of him not having heard the neder yet. But what about the other way around? Yedei ani sheyesh mefirin. What if the husband says the other way around? I knew that it's possible to be made for a husband to be made for his wife's neder. Avol eni yedei shezeh neder. But I did not know that what my wife said is a neder. Now that could mean the Ran says not that he didn't know it was a neder at all. Obviously he heard her say the word neder or the word koinam or whatever. What it means is the Ran says I didn't know that this is one of those kinds of nedarim that the husband can be made for, because we've touched on before and we're going to learn in detail in this coming parak that there's only certain kinds of nedarim of the wives that the husband can be made for. So he might say I knew that this is a neder of hers, but I didn't know. I knew that the husband can be made for a neder, but I didn't know that this is one of those types that I'm able to be made for. Another possibility is also it can mean when he says any yadash is a neder, The Rosh says another possibility that the husband could be saying, I didn't know that she formulated it in a way that would make it considered a neder. Let's say, for example, you make the neder using hatfasa that we learned about at the beginning of the Masechta, where you have, let's say, for example, you have in front of you meat of a korban, let's say, and you say this food should be like that meat, where then you're saying that now it becomes a neder. So you can have a case where the husband said, I didn't know that that actually constitutes a valid neder. Whatever the case, the Mishnah says, Reb Meir Omer lo yofer, Reb Meir says he cannot be mefer, but Chamim yofer, the Chamim say he can. Later on, when we learn that Mishnah, on Pezayin Amud Beis, the Ran discusses over there, what does Reb Meir mean when he says lo yofer? The Ran brings two possibilities. It can mean Reb Meir says he can't be mefer at all, because even once he finds out. So he can't be mefer on that day because he didn't know that it's a neder that he could be mefer. And when they inform him, it's already too late. And then on the other hand, the Chachamim would say that when he hears the neder, then he can be mefer it. But yeah, not after that. Then the other way, the Ran explains over there is Reb Meir would say, you can't be mefer the next day. But sure, you could be made for that day based on the partial knowledge that you have. And the Chachamim would say that, no, you could be made for even on another, that you could even be made for on another day, because only when you find out all the facts is it considered B'yom Shaman. Anyway, again, the point is that Reb Meir is saying that there was a case where you haven't heard the neder, then you can't be made for it anymore. V'amai, now, according to Reb Chanina, why would you say that? Again, L'hevi k'shoy sakam anas l'meika. Wouldn't it be again? You could say if he's quiet at that point, it's because he doesn't know better. That would be the equivalent of shoysik amanas l'meikat, which is where he plans to be made for the neder, but he wants to delay. So why would Reb Meir say? So first of all, why would Reb Meir say that he can't be made for in that case? And furthermore, the Ran adds that even the Chachamim. Why are the Chachamim disagreeing with Reb Meir? Because they're saying, since he doesn't know all the facts yet, he doesn't know that this is a he doesn't know both facts that he needs to know, namely that this is a valid neder and that he can be made for it, or that this is the type of neder he can be made for, whatever, then they consider he hasn't really heard the neder yet. Had they considered it a shmiah, then they would agree that he can't be made for. So obviously, therefore, that means both the Chachamim and Reb Meir hold that shoysik amanas l'meikat is not considered that he doesn't know something yet, or something like that. We say he has until Shtia, and that's that. So again, Tiyuvda, so that also is a contradiction against Reb Chanina, that there's, and so therefore there's no such thing as Shoysik Amanas L'meika. So the bottom line is, we have three different ways that we've schlugged up Reb Chanina, and the halacha is in fact not like him. The halacha is, no matter what reason the husband was Shoysik, the neder is going to be in effect at the end of that day, with the exception that we said, if he doesn't know a particular detail regarding the neder itself, either so he didn't hear the neder at all, or he heard it, but he didn't know that he's able to be made for a neder, or subject to the machlokas of Reb Meir and the Chachamim, if the other way around, he knows that it's possible to be made for a neder, but he didn't know that this is one of the type of nedarim that he could be made for, or that this is a valid neder in the first place. But other than that,
so what are the three reasons?
So the three reasons why he could be made for the next day would be if he didn't hear the neder.
No, why Rabbi Chanina was wrong?
Oh, why? Not wrong. We're not going to say wrong. We don't say wrong about an amora. But why we've disproved his din. So we said because we have three different braises. We have one braisa that clearly says that even shoysik amanas l'meikat, this is Reb Kahana had brought this, that we have a braisa that says clearly that shoysik amanas l'meikat, the neder is going to be in effect. We had Rava pointing out from an earlier Mishnah about Haforas Nedarim on Shabbos, that we see we don't say that let him be able to be made for after Shabbos and consider it the equivalent of shoysik amanas l'meikat. And then we had Reb Ashi bringing from a Mishnah in the next Perek, where we don't say according to the mayor, and even potentially according to the Chachamim, that if he knew of the neder and there was a side reason why he wasn't mefer, that we would allow him to do it the next day. No, we don't. So from all of those, we see that there's no such thing as a shsika when he knows all the facts about the neder that should allow him to be made for the next day. We see there's no such thing. And that would
and
be
three exceptions.
What?
And the three exceptions to that rule?
So the exceptions would be where he didn't know something. So that would be where he didn't hear the neder b'chlal, or where he heard the neder, but he didn't know there's such a thing as a husband being made for his wife's nedarim, or according to the Chachamim, the other way around, if he knew that there was such a thing as afara, but he didn't know that this is the type of neder that he could be made for, or even that this is a neder at all. So those kinds of cases, since he's lacking some information, then we say the clock hasn't started yet, and he can be made for on another day. But when he has all the information, when he's heard the neder, he knows it's a valid neder, and it's the type that he could be made for, he knows there's such a thing as afaras nedarim, and still he doesn't do it by the end of the day, then no, that's it, the deadline has come, and he can't be made for the neder anymore.
Can you mefer a shvua? Can a husband mefer a shvua for his wife?
Yes, we're actually going to talk about that now at the beginning of the Sparek.
And if that's the case,
what?
If that's the case, do you have the same rules for a shvua?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, the same rules apply to neder and shvua, yeah. Hadron alach nayra amayrasa. So now we come to the last parak of the Masechta. So now we're going to be dealing with, all this time we've been dealing with the mechanism of how hafara works. Now we're going to be dealing with what kind of nedarim can the husband be made for. We talked about before, by the way, that the Ran and most of the other Rishonim learn that the same rules that apply to a husband and wife also apply to a father and daughter, that the husband, now what we're going to discuss over here is, there's two types of nedarim that the husband can be made for, but there's a difference between them. Our Mishnah is going to focus on one of them, and then the Gemara is going to explain the other. The first kind is called nidrei inui nefesh, which are nedarim that cause her some kind of affliction or some kind of deprivation, so the husband can be made for those. And the other kind is called dvarim shebeina levena, things that affect the relationship between the husband and the wife. And we're going to give examples of those in the Gemara. So they may not be an inui for her, but they affect their relationship. So those we're also going to talk about in the Gemara. The husband has a certain limited right of hafara on those. We'll see in the Gemara what the exact difference is. Anyway, we've learned previously that the Ran and most of the Rishonim hold that the father and the daughter is exactly the same thing. The father can also only be made for the daughter, only nidrei inui nefesh, or dvarim shebeina levena. The Rambam holds differently. The Rambam holds that a father can be made for any nedarim. And we've mentioned before, there's a tshuva that the Rambam wrote to the Chachmei Luno discussing that. They asked him, what are you talking about? Doesn't the Sifri say that they're the same? And the Rambam says, the Sifri is according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds of that concept. The other Chachamim, he says, disagree with that, because the fact is, he says, throughout the Gemara, Bavli and Yerushalmi, you never find mentioned the drosha that the Sifri mentions for this purpose. Actually, the Kesef Mishnah asks on the Rambam that there is a Yerushalmi that mentions that Durasha, but anyway. And furthermore, that every time the Gemara mentions the restrictions on what he can be made for, it always mentions a husband and wife. It never mentions a father and daughter. Therefore, the Rambam says, I hold that a father can be made for any nedarim of his daughters, not just these two types. Almost all the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. There is an opinion. There is an opinion of Rabbeinu Yechiel that's brought in the Torah that sort of says a compromise. He says, when it comes to a father and daughter before her erusin, then yeah, we're going to say like the Rambam that he can be made for any of her nedarim. Once she's nis'aris, and we learned in the previous parak that there can be a case where her orus dies, and then the reshus on her nedarim is nisroikna, is emptied back out and goes and reverts back to her father, then we're going to say that the father has the right to be made for only these two types of nedarim. The Meiri says something similar, but he says the compromise would be that when the father is being made for together with the arus, as we learned in the previous parak, that when she's an arusa, you need the both of them together, then we would say it's limited only to these two types of nedarim. But other than that, whenever the father is being made for by himself, then he could be made for any kind of nedarim. So those are the opinions on it. And Shulchan Aruch, it brings these various opinions. An interesting point, actually, the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch point out the Mechaber himself, so he wrote Beis Yosef on the Torah. Then afterwards, he wrote a sefer called Bedek HaBayis, where he with various corrections and additions to things that he had written in Beis Yosef, and there he schlugs up the Rambam's distinction, and yet in Shulchan Aruch, not Rambam's, Rabbi Yechiel's distinction, and he says there doesn't really seem to be a basis for Rabbi Yechiel's distinction. Yet in Shulchan Aruch, he brings it as an opinion that we can follow. So it's an odd thing that he himself says that there doesn't seem to be any basis for it, and yet he brings it in Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, those are the different opinions on the subject. So now, as I said, this parak now is going to deal with the details of these two types of nidorim. What is the definition of nid? What is included in nidre inri nefesh? And the Gemara is going to discuss what is included in dvorim shebeina levena. So the Mishnah starts off, the elu nidorim shehu mefer. The following are the type of nidorim that the husband can be mefer. And again, according to the Ran, most of the Rishonim, the same thing would also be true as far as a father and daughter. Dvorim sheyesh behen inri nefesh. Nedarim that involve inui nefesh, that involve that she's depriving herself of something. We're going to see in the Gemara why the Mishnah is not mentioning Dvarim Shebeina Levena, even though the fact is that he can be made for those as well. What is an example of Nedarim? What are examples of Nedarim Sheyeshban inui nefesh? For example, if she says, Im erchatz v'im loy erchatz. She says, for example, in Neder, if I will bathe or if I will not bathe. We're going to see in the Gemara exactly how she formulates the neder. What is it? In the end, the Gemara is going to go into a discussion about it, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The Gemara is going to end up concluding that she says, for example, if I bathe today, then Hana of bathing will be forever also to me. So in other words, in effect, she's saying that if I bathe today, it'll be my last bath ever. So then that's nidru in your nefesh. Or if she makes a shvur, now you were just asking if he can be made for a shvur, the answer is yes. No, we're talking about the father. We're talking about the father or the father or the husband. Can be made for a shvur as well. So if she says ve'im lo erchatz, if she makes an actual shvur, that I won't bathe. A straight out shvur that I won't bathe. Again, we've learned before, neder is on an object or on a something. A shvur is on the person. So a shvur would be formulated as im lo erchatz, if she makes a neder loy erchatz that I won't bathe.
Why does make sure she bathes that day and finish?
So that's the Tiferes Yisrael actually points that out, that in the first case where she says if I bathe today then I'll be also forever. So fine, the point is he can be made for that, even though you could just as well say, well, let her not bathe today and then there won't be a problem. Nevertheless, he can be made for that. That's the point, because she's making dependent on it something that will be forever. You're right. If she would have just have made a neder that I won't bathe today, that wouldn't, and that's it. That wouldn't be considered nidre inu nefesh. To not bathe for one day is not inu nefesh. But if she's making dependent on it that if she does, she's going to be also in something forever, then that's inu nefesh. Similarly, imeskashet v'imleskashet. Similarly, instead of bathing, she might make the same kind of neder as far as beautifying herself. Which the Ran points out. There are two kinds of beautifying herself. There's putting on makeup, and then there's also, and then there's jewelry or whatever. And then, yeah, but that's that. All that is one kind. Then there's a kind which is called paneha shomata, which is talking about to groom her hair down below, where that affects when she has relations with her husband. Then that's going to be in the way. So we're going to discuss that later on in the Gemara on Daf Pei Aleph. We're going to discuss that point. Is that considered? That's not the Ran learns. That's not necessarily considered inri nefesh. To not groom that hair, to not trim or whatever that hair is not necessarily inri nefesh. It's not necessarily a deprivation for her. One second. It means, in other words, that the problem is more on the husband. It makes it more difficult for the husband to have relations with her. So that might be instead dvarim shebeina levena. It's not necessarily inri nefesh. So we're going to discuss that point in the Gemara on Daf Pei Aleph. We're going to say the Rosh over there actually learns differently. He learns that actually could be considered inri nefesh as well. But we'll get to that later. Anyway,
you said an affliction for one day is not an affliction. What about Yom Kippur then? It's one day, and it says
the truth is we are going to discuss Yom Kippur. We are actually going to discuss Yom Kippur on Daf Pei. So you know what? Hold that thought, and we'll discuss that tomorrow, Master Shem.
I'm holding the thought, but I'm still asking the question.
Okay, so the answer is that the Gemara is actually going to discuss that point on Daf Pei. So right now we're saying that an Inui of one day is not necessarily considered an Inui, but we're going to take up that point in the Gemara on Daf Pei on the Beis, and we'll see whether, in fact, that remains that way. So we'll get to it.
Could we actually fast and not eating?
Right. Okay.
And 24 hours, people feel weak.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's continue. Amr Abiyosi. However, Abiyosi says everything that we listed in the Mishnah so far is not considered inui nefesh. It can be considered dvarim shebein alavena, but it can't be considered inui nefesh. The Elohein nidra inui nefesh. Rather, Abiyosi says what would be considered nidra inui nefesh. That would be Omra Koinam Peres HaOlam Alai. Suppose that she said a Koinam that all the produce in the world is also to me. Strictly speaking, actually, we learned before in the Masechta Tosfos, it said it can't mean that she said all the produce because that would be an impossible neder. Ultimately, a person needs produce of some kind in order to live off of. Produce, no, it doesn't just include Peres. Peres in Gemara terminology also includes grain and whatever. So it would mean that she says, for example, that a certain kind of Peres from the whole world is also to me. So then, Hareza Yochel LaHafer. So then, that would be an example of Nidra Inri Nefesh. She's depriving herself of ever eating a certain kind of fruit from the whole world. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that I agree that the husband could be Mefer. What about if she says Peres Medina Zu Alai? What if she says that I'm making the produce of a certain country also to me? So then he can't be made for that because Yavi Lama Medina Acheres, then he can just, if he wants, he can bring her the same fruit from a different country. Now, the Ran says, we're not talking about where she says of this country. If let's say, for example, she's living in the United States and she says any of this fruit from the United States is going to be also to me, then yeah, he'd be able to be made for that because it's going to be a big hardship to have to bring it from other countries. What we mean is, let's say, for example, living in the United States, she said, let's say I won't eat any of this fruit from Canada. So then instead, okay, so he can't bring them from Canada. Fine, he can bring them from the United States, he can bring them from Mexico, we can whatever. So then it's not such a hardship. So he wouldn't be able to be made for that. Peres chen b'ni ze'alai. Similarly, if she says a neder that the peres from such and such a storekeeper are also to me, also in yochel l'hafer, then he can't be made for the same reason. Just go buy a different store. He cannot be Mefer. Yeah, it says any. Yeah. Peres chen b'ni ze'alai. Eino yochel l'hafer. Yeah. You don't have to.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
That is a yochel l'hafer. He says,
No. So hold on. Let's go back over that. Yeah, I think there's a little confusion over here. Omra koinam peres ha'olam alai. Rabbi Yossi is saying, if you said the peres, a certain kind of peres from the entire world are also to me, hareza yochel l'hafer, then it can be mefer, that is nidra inui nefesh. But if she said peres medina zu alai, but if she said the peres of a certain country are also to me, then yavi la medina acheres, then that's not something that he can be made for. Instead, he would have to bring. Instead, he would have to bring her from a different country. Peres chen b'ni ze'alai, and likewise, if he says the peres of a certain storekeeper are also to me, ein yochel l'hafer, then again, can't be made for. Go buy a different store. However, v'im loy hoisa parnasase elamimenu. However, if the husband has his parnasa only from this storekeeper, in other words, this is the only storekeeper that is giving him credit. Now, sometimes there are other, so now what happens if she tries to go to another store or he tries to go to another store, there may not be money available. He may not have cash on hand. And then there's going to be inui nefesh because now she's going to be deprived of eating that kind of food because she can't buy it from this storekeeper because of the neder, and she can't buy it from any other storekeeper because they don't have money right now. So then that would be considered nidra inri nefesh, hareze yofer, divir Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says then that you can be mefer. And the Ran says, by the same token, if she made a neder from the peres of this Medina that we're living in, that would be the equivalent of a storekeeper who's the only one who gives you credit. Then in fact, that would be considered nidra inri nefesh because it would be a big hardship to bring the peres from another country. So why the Mishnah finishes off Divrei Rabbi Yossi when this whole half of the Mishnah has been according to Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara is going to end up explaining in a couple of blot that's to tell us that from now on, from here until the end of the Perek, is all according to Rabbi Yossi. That's it, yeah.
And it means halacha is like him?
Yeah, it means halacha is like him, yeah. In general, most of the time the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi anyway. The Gemara elsewhere says the idea Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. Rabbi Yossi always has a good reason to go with the halachas that he says, and so we often find the halacha is like him, even where it otherwise wouldn't be. And especially here, where you have stam mishnayos like it.
Right?
Nimuke means explanations. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Nidri inu nefesh hu demefer she'en behen inu nefesh ene mefer. Are you telling me that a husband or father, according to most of the Rishonim, can only be made for Nidri inu nefesh, but not any other kind? The Mishnah, after all, it seems to say that, because it says, ve'elu nedonim shu mefer, dvonim she'esh behen inu nefesh. But the fact is, we know it's not so. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, when the Pasuk says, ben ish l'ishtei ben ov l'vitoi, the Pasuk says, the nedarim and then the hafara, between a husband and wife, and between a father and daughter, malama cha'bal mefer nedarim shebein alabena. From there you learn that a husband can also be made for nedarim that affect the relationship between him and her, meaning even if there's no inri nefesh involved. The Gemara answers, Amri, so the Chachamim answered, Holein v'holein mefer. It is true, he can be made for both kinds. Holein is one of those unusual type expressions that you find mostly in the Dorim. It's a Yerushalmi type word. In the regular Bavli, the usual expression would be Hani v'hani instead of Holein. Anyway, so both kinds it can be made for. Mihu, the difference is, Inui nefesh mefer l'olam. If she made a neder of Inui nefesh and he's made for it, then that hafara lasts forever. She's never again also in that thing, unless, of course, she makes a new neder. Avo ein behen inri nefesh, but when there's no inri nefesh, when it's only dvarim shebeina lebeina, only kid isa tchusei habi hafara, then the hafara lasts only as long as she's married to him. Mikim garash law, but once he divorces her, chayel ala nidra, then the neder would be chal on her.
It'll come back by itself.
It'll come back by itself, right? Okay. Because the hafara is only going to last as long as because after all we learn it to the Rosh points out, where do we learn it from Bein Ish L'Ishtoi? Well, once they're not Ish in Ishtoi anymore, then the hafara goes away. So now the neder is taking effect. No, because that's the thing we said. The husband does not cut it off. The husband only cuts it off from now on. A chacham, but he's matter a neder is okay. And the Gemara continues. Now the next two lines of the Gemara seem to be kind of repeating what we said before, and many kisveyad don't have them, but it's kind of recapitulating what we said. V'dvorim shebeina levena she'ein behen inui nefesh. When you have dvorim shebeina levena, where there's no inui nefesh involved, then the din is that the neder would come back into effect if he divorces her. Avo yesh behen inri nefesh loy chayel alon nidra. But if there is inri nefesh involved, the neder will not come back to being in effect once he was made for it. Then it's mufer permanently. Udvarim she'in ban inri nefesh. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Udvarim she'in ban inri nefesh ki megarish lo chayel alah. You're telling me that if there's no inri nefesh involved, then as soon as he divorces her, the neder will be back in effect. How could that be? We learn in a Mishnah later in the Perek. Now, you have a case. Suppose that the woman made a neder we learned about this kind of neder in Ksubas. She makes a neder that my hands will be considered hektish. Therefore, the maisi adeha, the wool that she spins or whatever, is going to be also to her husband to have a knot from.
We learned
in Ksubas, and we're going to learn later on in our parak. She has a shibud to him that she's meshubad to him to produce for him, but nevertheless, the hektish that she makes her hands hektish overrides that. So now the result is that, but on the other hand, you have a machloikas in the Mishnah. Does he need to be made for the neder? So the Tanakhama there actually says he doesn't need to because the shibud cannot be overridden. The Tanakhama in that Mishnah holds the shibud of the husband over his wife's ma'asi adeha is so strong that even her making her hands hektish cannot override that. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yechon Manuri says, no, Yofer, he still should be made for the neder. It's true that right now it can't be effective because of his shibud, but he should still be made for anyway. Shema Yagarshena, because what if he divorces her? Or Tehei Asur Aloi, she'll be also to remarry him, because now, once she divorces him, then the neder is going to be in effect. Alma, Ki Megarish Lo Umeifalo Meikra Havra Afara. So you see from that then, you see from that that even though there's no inui nefesh in saying that she shouldn't be able to do work for her husband, nevertheless, ki megarishla umefala meikra, when he divorces her, if he had been mefer while she was his wife, even though he divorced her, havi hafara, then we're saying that the hafara still works, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is saying that's the good of the hafara is that it will that the good of the hafara is that that way, even after he divorces her, the neder won't come back into effect. if you tell me that as soon as he's mefer, but it comes back into effect when they get divorced, what good would it do for him to be mefer? Either way, the neder is coming back when he divorces her. So obviously you can't make that distinction. So Amri, so they answer, no, Holein v'Holein have yahfara. No, in both cases, it is a valid hafara, whether it's nidri inri nefesh, or whether it's dvarim shebeina l'reina, either way it works. But the difference is, ela nidri inri nefesh mefer bein la'atzmai bein la'acher. What happens is, when it comes to nidri inri nefesh, when he's mefer it, that applies whether it's to him or to somebody else. So let's say, for example, so the Ran explains, she had made a neder not to eat a certain kind of pears. We said that's nidri inri nefesh. Not only when he's married to her, he's made for that neder, not only is she allowed to eat them when they're married, she's even allowed to eat them after they get divorced, and even when she remarries somebody else. Yeah. On the other hand, ain behen inri nefesh, but if there's no inri nefesh involved, la'atzmei mefer, la'acherim ene mefer. Sure, the hafara can be effective for him, meaning that it can survive even, the hafara will still survive the divorce. If they get remarried afterwards, then the hafara will be back in effect. But if not for others, meaning if she marries somebody else, then the hafara will no longer be effective. So let's say, for example, she had made this neder that she said about Maisia Deha. So as long as he and she are married, then the neder is batal because of his hafara. If they get divorced, it still remains batal. If they remarry, then it continues to be batal. However, if she were to marry somebody else, then that neder would be in effect, because the husband never had the right to be mevatalit on behalf of somebody else.
A new husband wouldn't be able to be mevatalit.
A husband can't be, we learned in the previous perek, a husband can't be mevatal medarim that took place before he married his wife. Right. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yechim Anuri is saying that the good of him being mefer is only that he will be able to remarry her. It won't help if somebody else marries her later. Then it's true, then the neder will be in effect. So that's the difference. So therefore, v'hachi katani. So now, when our Mishnah mentions only nidri inri nefesh, what the Mishnah means is, elo nedarim shu mefer bein la'atzmai or bein la'acherim, what kind of nedarim can be mefer, and the hafara will be effective, whether regarding him or whether regarding others, nedarim sheyesh bein inri nefesh, only when there's inri nefesh involved. But if there's dvarim shebeina l'beina, then he can also be mefer, but the scope of that hafara is restricted. The Rambam, by the way, has a somewhat different understanding of la'atzmai and la'acherim. The Rambam understands it to mean, let's say, for example, that if there's no inri nefesh involved, then if he himself gives her that item, then she's able to eat it, or she's able to enjoy it, or whatever. But if somebody else, even while they're married, were to give her that item, then it would be also to her. So he learns, that's how he learns, la'atzmai la'acherim, not just that it has to do with divorce and remarriage, like we're saying in the Gemara, but even while they're married, if we're talking about something which is not inri nefesh, that it would mean she can only receive it from her husband, not from anybody else. No, because eating would be nidri inri nefesh. So we'd have to be talking about it's not a matter of eating. It's not a matter of food. It'd be something else. Oh. No, it'd be something else other than food. Some other kind of thing where there's no inri nefesh involved, there's no deprivation involved, but where she makes a neder, let's say, I don't know, that...
No,
ice cream would be considered inri nefesh. Any kind of food is going to be inri nefesh. Yeah, inri nefesh means deprivation, means you're depriving yourself.
Yeah, but ice cream's not depriving
yourself. No, it is. It may be extra, but it's still a person is being deprived of it. No, we'd have to give an example, let's say, where she makes a neder, let's say, I don't know, that I won't hear such and such from somebody or whatever, you know, I won't allow somebody to inform me of such and such, maybe, I don't know, something intangible like that, let's say, I don't know. Yeah, maybe, whatever the case. So, yeah. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue analyzing the Mishnah and dealing with what exactly was the form of her neder and what we're saying the husband can be made for.